Thank you for listening to this podcast from Freedom Vineyard. We're a church that not only wants to see individuals transformed, but whole communities changed with the love and freedom that Jesus has for us. If you're interested in us and visiting on a Sunday, just head over to our website, freedomvineyard.org, to find out more. I hope you enjoy today's podcast. Thanks for listening. We are starting a series called The Big Picture, and it's going to run up until the beginning of December. In case you're wondering what that is, that's a massive nebula. That's a cloud of gas somewhere deep out in the universe somewhere, but it would take you several hundreds of light years just to travel from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen, so it's pretty big. So that's the metaphor, that's the message. And what is The Big Picture all about? Well, one story, many threads, and all fulfilled in Jesus. So the Bible is actually a library of books. It's all different books, different genres, different authors over thousands of years. And the amazing thing about that is that they all weave together into one unified story that all points to Jesus. So it's a library of books written over thousands of years, all with different authors, and God has weaved into it a single story that all points to Jesus. And the Bible is wonderfully kind of layered and complex. So you can come to the Bible having never read it. When I first opened a Bible at age 17, I just thought, how on earth do I navigate my way around this? What, you know? I mean, I picked up a Bible and I started at the beginning, because that's where you start a book, isn't it? And people go, no, you start halfway through, and that made no sense to me. But, you know, hey. And so we can read it, coming to it completely cold, and it can blow us away. The Bible is accessible for everyone. And not only that, it's not just a book. The Lord speaks to it. Because what the purpose of the Bible is actually to lead us to an encounter with God so we actually know more about him. And so we can come to it having never read it. And I do recommend starting like at Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John if you've never read anything about it. Because it's just a bit more easier to get hold of. And they're the direct words of Jesus. But you can read that and be blown away. You know, the way that Jesus acts, the things that he says are just inspirational. And as we study, we can go deeper. And the thing is, there's always layers of meaning. And there's always new things to uncover. And like, there's a picture at the end of the Bible in Revelation. And Revelation is a really kind of crazy book. We don't have any literature a lot like it nowadays. And it pictures these kind of crazy creatures going around the throne of God. And they've got like wings and eyes. And it's just like, you're trying to explain the majesty and the infiniteness of God in a kind of pictorial sense, and like the author's blown away and has to have a lay down for a week after writing it. But these guys go around the throne, they just say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that sounds like religious, like, well, what's all that got to do? But I think actually what they're doing is they're going around and seeing something new about God, and it's blowing them away, and they're going, wow, wow. And they keep going around for eternity going, I've just seen something new about you, Lord, and it's blown me away. So that's kind of what I want to capture with this, that as we work through the Bible, and as we work through kind of what we're going to do is we look at Old Testament characters, and we're going to just like dive out, because some of us, we've got like Bible notes, yeah? And you read like a couple of verses or a bit of a passage, that's all great. Certainly not down on that, but that's kind of been like the culture of like the Western church. And actually, if we kind of zoom out, and if we actually read chunks of the Bible, we start to learn other things, which, and we'll see an example of that this morning. So why are we doing this? So our prayer as we do this is that you actually become more confident in actually what the Bible says. Because there's so much wacky stuff out there. There's this thing called the internet. You may have heard of it. There's loads of wacky stuff on it. And so when we learn the big picture, the big stories of the Bible, it helps us navigate. So when we hear something, that sounds strange. Helps us know whether that fits into the big picture or not. So you can be more confident. Say, actually, I know the story. I know where this is going. And as we get the layers and the depth of it, you just become more and more amazed. So the prayer over this series is that actually we want to build more confidence that this is amazing. This is just incredibly inspired, beautiful literature, but also more than that, it's scripture. It's something that brings us life. Actually get inspired as well. So we're going to read a story that's thousands of years old. And this morning we're going to discover that we're actually part of that story. But hopefully, part of the heart of this is like get inspired, like, wow, this is so much deeper and so much more inspirational than I ever kind of thought of before. So we want to kind of sow some inspiration. I want to kind of try and inspire you to kind of sort of say, actually, this is something worth reading, and even more, this is actually something worth following and building into my life. And then finally, we don't worship the Bible. and we don't kind of just study it and kind of get more and more knowledgeable and our heads go bigger and bigger and bigger. Over the last couple of months, as I've been reading this, I've been sort of saying, Lord, actually, as I read your scripture, as I read your word that you've written to show me who you are, may I actually meet you in it? So you have an encounter. It's not about learning. It's not just about study. They're all good. But actually, there's a deeper thing about, as we read scripture, that we can actually encounter the living God who's all-powerful and can change our lives. So, okay, nice small aims. I want you to be inspired, confident, and just really encounter God through this series, yeah? Good, thank you. So the first person we're looking at is Abraham. So if you've got your Bibles, and you want to turn right at the beginning to the first book, which is Genesis, and there's chapter 12, or you can open it on your phone or your device. We're going to read about Abraham. So when we read here, he's called Abram, but he gets renamed to Abraham. So it's basically, Abram means father, and then God multiplies that and says Abraham is father of many. I just quite like calling him Abraham, so I think he's honouring. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. So let's go ahead, and it'll be on the screen as well, but let's go ahead and read just the first few verses of Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Cool. Just a few verses there. And this is God speaking directly to Abraham. So straight off the bat, just looking at the words, what do we learn about that? Just no background knowledge required. And I'm trying desperately not to turn this into like a primary school comprehension kind of exercise because I hated them. But what kind of things do we spot in the text there? Yep. Who will bless? God's going to bless Abraham. Yep. What else? What's he going to do? What's he saying to Abraham that he will do for him? Yep. Yep. That's right. Yep. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. He's going to make him into a great nation, and he's going to make your name great. That's pretty good. Move over X Factor. God's going to do it. You know? So these are, I mean, if God rocked up to you 9 o'clock on a Monday morning and said, hey, Ed, never guess what, I'm going to make you into a great nation, I'm going to make your name great. It's like, whoa, you know, that would be fairly mind-bending, wouldn't it? So this is God rocking up to Abraham and just making all these amazing promises. Okay, and we could just read that and we can kind of pick that out and go, that's actually mind-bending. If we stop and think and just prayerfully read through that a few times, spend 5 minutes in that, it's like, wow, Lord, you're really for us. And it's amazing. So you can just read that and think, this is great. This is like, you can get so much out of that just by reading this one amazing promise. But then, actually, what we're going to do today is we're going to look a little bit behind that. And just, even though we're right at the beginning of the story and we're only 12 chapters in, we're actually going to see there's actually a heck of a lot that this is already calling back to. And it's going to enrich the story. And then we're going to look forward and just see how it plays out. Okay? And so, when you read Genesis and you do a bit of study, you discover that actually right here in chapter 12, it's a dramatic turning point. So you wouldn't get that from reading that. You just think, well, that's nice. It's nice and pretty. But actually what we are at a point in the story where it's like a dramatic turning point. And the first thing this shows us is that God is a God who never gives up. This is good news. God never, ever, ever gives up. And why do I say that? So if you think about your favorite film that you've seen, I would wager you that about 3/4 of the way or very near the end, there's a turning point, there's a lull, isn't there? There's a kind of bit where the hero looks trapped or the hero dies. Can you think of your movie like that? So I always think of The Matrix, which is objectively the best film ever made. We all know that. And like what happens is Neo, the one, Neo, that's a great acronym, don't know how they work that out, but he's... he's kind of coming against the baddies, the enemy, the agents, and they're shooting him. And he's got to believe that actually this is just all made up, this is all the Matrix. And like, it's a computer program, a simulation. He's got to believe that he's real and he's outside somewhere with a big USB stick stuck into the back of his head. And so these agents are firing bullets at him. And like, he's on this table, and like, he's just like, he's not believing it. And he's like, oh, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And he's kind of, then the heart monitor's flatline, he's dead. Like, oh my goodness, this is the guy who's going to save us. This is the guy who's going to rescue us from like the evil computer programmers. I work with computer programmers, they're right. And so, but then Trinity, the female kind of lead, kind of gives him a kiss, and he kind of resurrects, woo, and it's amazing. And then he kind of comes back into this scene where these agents are like firing bullets, there's like 20 of them, and they're all firing, and he just like stops, and you just feel this like, yes, he's going to win. And it's a great, and he just stops all the bullets, they just like, they all come, and he just picks one off, and they just all drop to the floor, and you think, this guy's invincible, it's going to be amazing. And like, we're all safe, we're all secure. And then this is actually, believe it or not, exactly what's happening in Genesis 12. And why do I say that? So, in our story, we actually hit a point in Genesis 11 where everything looks like it's lost. So let's think about, if you've been around Freedom Vineyard for a while, if you're new to this, just relax, not going to pick on anyone. But a while ago, we did kind of the creation story, Genesis 1 and 2. Can anybody remember anything about kind of creation story? Anything that's important in that? Just brainstorm. What do you remember about the creation story? Yep, some people do think that, so I'm going to skate over that, but that's fine, yeah. Who did it? Who definitely created? God. God did it. And were we kind of an afterthought or important part of it? Very important part. And does anyone remember the kind of things we were called to do as human beings? Sorry, say again? We meant, yeah, meant to multiply, that's very good.
Name the animals.
Sorry? Yep. Look after the land, yep. We were called to reign. We were the image of God, chosen to represent God's creation and beautify it and lovingly rule over. Rule over has a horrible kind of connotation in our culture, but it wasn't back then. It was like, you know, you're a gracious king, like ruling for the good of your people. And so that was our calling, and that's kind of Genesis 1 and 2. And then literally, Genesis 3 to 11 just shows that actually we decide not to go God's way, because God gives us a choice, saying you can either go my way or you can actually have your own way. And chapter 3 to 11 are all about people choosing their own way. And so in chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve, we see the early mankind decide to go their own way and have independence. And then we instantly see a blame and a breakdown in a relationship. Before, they were in perfect unity. They had perfect intimacy. They didn't hide from each other. They felt no shame. So, you know, the things that we don't tell people about ourselves because we think, if I told you about that, you wouldn't like me anymore. That's called shame. They didn't have any of that. They had no relational conflict. And then, so as soon as they do this, the first thing is they start having blame and their relationships are fragmented. Well, that kind of multiplies pretty quickly. And then you get these individuals. You get Cain and Abel. So Cain murders Abel because he's jealous of him. And then a few kind of chapters down, you have this guy called Lamech. So with Lamech, we see a guy who's actually starting to collect women like objects. So we see the objectification, the subjugation of women. And he's also very vengeful and boastful. So he's proud of his own strength. He says, if anybody kills me, I'm going to kill seven of them. He's just like, he's like a mob boss, and he's like reveling in it. He's saying, come on, bring it. And then, so this isn't far from the way that God wanted it. And then God does a reboot with Noah, so Noah and the ark. So you think, great, okay, God's lovingly stepping in to stop humanity just destructing. But then Noah comes out, and then pretty much straight after, he plants a garden. You think, garden, that's good. It all started in a garden. But then he gets drunk on the wine, and then one of his sons does something shameful to him. So it's like, oh my goodness, this is a do-over, and we're already done, you know, by the end of the chapter. And then things go to bad to worse until chapter 11, we have the Tower of Babel, which is a forerunner of Babylon, which is like a city, but also like a metaphor in the Bible. And everybody, humanity, all groups together. It says, let us make a city, let's make a tower so we can make a name for ourselves. or you won't be scattered over all the earth. Well, what did God say? Go and fill the earth. I do want you to scatter. I want you to go and spread out. No, we want to make a city, so we'll be protected. And we want to build this big building. So, like, big buildings are still a big show-off sign, aren't they? You know, you have palaces, you have big tower blocks, and, you know, all the biggest companies have the biggest tower blocks in the most expensive parts of the city. It's still the same kind of deal. That's what they want to do. And then let's make a name for ourselves. But let's do it without God. Let's do it our way. And they were using the latest technology to kind of do that. Bit of a watchword for us, I think. So chapter 11, so if you start to read the big picture, you start seeing from 3 to 11 this kind of inbreaking and breaking of relationships and violence and objectification and ownership. You just start seeing it go from individuals to small groups to families to the whole of mankind. And then so God comes down and he absolutely scatters them, confuses their language, and it's just like so hopeless. In all of the other judgments, God's given them a little kind of way out, but in chapter 11 it's just like scatter. There's no kind of ray of hope at the end of it. And it's like the candle is flickering. It's about to go out. And it's like, you could sort of say, God, you've been so faithful and everyone else has been so unfaithful. I wouldn't blame you if you just ended it right here. And that's kind of where we are at chapter 11. And then just at the end of chapter 11, we see this kind of family just start. The Bible sort of goes in from like the whole of mankind, just zooms into this little family. And that's kind of in the second half of chapter 11. And it's kind of this family that leads to Abraham, or Abraham as we've read. Okay? And so when we look at these promises of Abraham, I want you to kind of think about them now. So we read that passage and we thought, that's good, there's lots of really nice promises. But let's start hearing the echoes of Genesis 1. So Genesis 1 is God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And in Genesis 12, when God's talking to Abraham, he's saying, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. So it sounds like, well, a nation is a lot of people. Again, I'm going to start. So this is this kind of reboot. So when you start kind of reading scripture, the big picture, you start saying, so there's all these, so like, I listen to the Bible Project, which is a really good resource. I kind of thoroughly recommend it. They call it like hyperlinks. On a web page, you kind of click on a link and it takes you somewhere else. When Jesus is teaching, he's using loads of links back to kind of the Old Testament and loads of pictures. So when you start reading things and you start thinking, I will bless you. Where have I heard the word bless before? I've heard it a lot in Genesis 1 and 2. So this is a callback, even though we're at the beginning of the story, it's a callback to even the beginning of the story. Do you see what I mean? So this is, when we start seeing the big picture, we start seeing God actually sort of saying, I'm going to repeat this blessing. So even though mankind rebelled against me, my plan still endures. My plan A is still the plan. It's shifted a little bit. Instead of all of creation, I'm now going to go through a nation. I'm going to build up a nation that's going to bless others. But you get these echoes. What other echoes do we see? Genesis 11, we see all of mankind trying to rebel against God and saying, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Well, God says to Abraham in Genesis 12, I will make your name great. Abraham's famous, he's world famous, thousands of years after he lived. He's revered by like Jews, Christians, Muslims the world over. He's a very recognizable person in both the East and the West. So God says, I will make your name great, which is exactly what humankind was trying to do in rebellion of God. So God will do it, but he'll do it on his terms. There's another one actually I want to show. So that's right. So if you also think about Genesis 12, God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. Whereas when you look at Genesis 11, people are saying, we will. Let us go and build a city. Let us do it. Let us do it. We will do this. And so we are trying in your own strength. That's what it looks like today. We're trying in our own strength to get things done rather than relaxing in God and saying, actually, God, I'm going to let you establish this. We could try and grow a church as much as we can. And there's lots of things we can do. We can pray hard. We can talk to our friends. We can be kind and loving and nice. That's all good. God is the one who makes it grow. God's going to establish us. And it's in partnership with us. Do you see what I mean? So even in chapter 12 of the first book of the whole Bible, there's already callbacks. There's already pictures that are going back, you know, calling back to that beginning. And I really love this. I love the fact that even though we've got a picture of God creating a perfect earth and then seeing this denigrate and break down over the next few chapters till we get to a really bleak place, God doesn't give up. He never gives up. Now on Friday, poor Amanda, it took her 3 hours to do the newsletter that goes into your inbox. And the first time round, just lost all the work. And then the second time round, you're trying to do things and trying to get like a graphic of the away day in there, the regional day. And like one of my character faults is just like, so I work in technology, and I'm kind of always kind of been quite computery and nerdy. That's not a surprise for you. But I kind of pick these things up quite naturally because that's the way I'm wired. Other people don't. And the flaw in my character is like, why don't you just get it? It's easy. It's obvious. Now, there's lots of things that I don't get and people find easy, of course. And it's just like, so I'm just like, man's going, oh, I'm really frustrated. Instead of going, oh, I'm really sorry and being helpful, I'm just like, oh. I was just like so short, wasn't I? I was just a complete idiot. And it's just like, and then I kind of, the day after, I was just sitting down, Lord, just like, I reflect over the previous day. And just like, Lord, I just lost sight of the most basic thing, just to be loving and caring and humble and actually have a bit of humility and just like not be an idiot. It's not a high standard. It's not like, you know, I didn't remember all the theology in the world. It's like, just, Glenn, don't be an idiot. It's just like, Lord, you know, I'm meant to be leading a church and I'm just an idiot. And I, really? I just thought it's really basic. It's really root one. And I just had to say sorry to the Lord for that. And it's just like, but it just reminds me of two things. The Lord never gives up. The Lord never gives up on us. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if there's some of us here that are just thinking, Lord, I just let you down. Or maybe you've never kind of given your life to the Lord, but you think, well, what would God want with me? Because like, he does know what I've done, but he couldn't forgive that. And like, the Lord never gives up on us. He never, ever gives up on us. His plan A is still his plan A. He's so faithful. Even when we're faithless, he is faithful. So that's an encouragement. If you're struggling or if you feel you've let the Lord down, just look at this picture. Read the first 12 verses, the sort of 12 chapters of Genesis, and learn how God is a God who never gives up. Okay? So let's look at how this God's promise now unfolds. And again, we're going to look at this big picture. And we see that God is going to make Abraham into a great nation. So he's got to have a few kids. They don't have kids at the moment. And then when you look over, again, in good old chapter 11, now Sarai, his wife, who becomes Sarah when they're both renamed, was childless because she was not able to conceive. So it's like, oh my goodness. So, okay, Abraham's pretty old. His wife can't have kids. And God's going to say, I'm going to make you a great nation. So this really proves that whatever God establishes in our life, he's going to do it. No matter what our weakness is, no matter what our frailty, no matter what our lack of capacity, no matter what our kind of potentiality, anything that is like really amazing, God is going to do it. So he takes a couple who have almost, you know, zero natural chance of having kids. And he says, my promise to you is something extraordinary, that I'm going to do this. I'm actually going to give you loads of kids. And they're going to have loads of kids, and you're going to be a great nation. And as we look at the big picture of Genesis 12, we see a tension between wanting to do things our own way and living within the boundaries of God's design. And knowing that actually when we say yes to God and no to ourselves, that's the best way to a flourishing life. It's not like, oh Lord, I'm giving up so much for you. It's like, God, I'm not being an idiot. I'm actually tuning into the way you want things to be done, which give you glory and like lead to blessing. Okay? So they can't have kids. And he's saying, I want you to be a great nation. And the other thing is, he says, I want you to leave your country, your people, and your father's household. So when I get in a car for a long journey, first thing I do is fire up the sat-nav. What you do, stick in the postcode. So I say, right, okay, what's the postcode? A few weeks ago, went up to Birmingham to see some mates that I haven't seen for 30 years, and I had to find this house I've never been to, so no problem. Stick in the postcode, go. Okay, all my routes mapped out. I know exactly the way it's going to go. If there's any traffic, it'll reroute around it. It'll be perfect. And so God rocks up to Abraham and says, I want you to leave, and I'm going to make you great. And so you could kind of forgive Abraham for going, right, can you just tell me this postcode? I've got to whack it into the sat nav now. And he goes, there's no postcode. I said, what do you mean? He said, you just start off in that direction, and I'll tell you where to go. And this is such a picture again of Abraham stepping into God's design, where he's sort of saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me that you don't know the end of this story. You don't know where you're going to end up, where you're going to be living. You don't even know how you're going to get there. You don't even know how your bills or your mortgage is going to be paid for, but I do. Would you take the first step? Or do you want to kind of go do it your own way and say, I will do this, Lord. I will build it. Or are you going to let God do that? There's no sat-nav. And we see Abraham's willingness to sort of say, I'm going to go back into the garden, where you sort of say, here's a way to work with me rather than independently. And we see Abraham just mimic and recall that Genesis 1 and 2, I'm going to go your way, Lord. And then these promises are actually then repeated to Isaac and Jacob. So Isaac is Abraham's son, and Jacob is his grandson. And these promises are repeated to those guys too. God visits them and says the same things to them. So we start seeing that actually that God's going to make that family a whole big nation. So that promise gets repeated. And then as we read through the Old Testament, this golden thread gets unpacked. Later, under Moses' leadership, God is going to expand the identity of this nation, which is now called Israel, into a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So again, no sat-nav, we don't know where we're going to go. So Abraham just goes out. He walks around Canaan, the land that he's going to be given, and he worships in all the corners. That's really interesting. If you want something in your life, it's really good to kind of hear those promises and then worship and like worship over them and just like pray through them. It's just a little aside. But so this family grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and becomes a whole people group, which is called Israel. And then later on, so Moses, then they're kind of up a mountain, and Moses says, actually, now, you're now a nation, here's the next part of the plan that I knew all along that you didn't, that I'm now going to unfold, and you're going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Well, what does that mean? Okay, this nation now, have gone from one couple who were childless to a whole nation. That's pretty impressive. Now you have new purpose, because you're going to be a kingdom of priests. What do priests do? Priests, firstly, they bless the Lord. And then secondly, they tell others what God is like. They reflect the other nations around them who God is like. Oh, where have I heard that? Back in the garden. I want you to be the image of God. Oh, wow. Okay, but this is not just on an individual level. This is on a corporate level. This is on a nation level. We want a whole nation to reflect the goodness of God. Ah, okay. And then from Israel, we'll have a great King David. He's the greatest of kings. David and Goliath, slingshot. And he was a foreshadow of Jesus, our ultimate king. And thousands of years later, Jesus arrives. Ultimate king, ultimate priest, and launches the kingdom of God. He dies for our sin, for our wrongdoing, rises again to give us new life. And we are, you know, and literally blesses all people on earth. So that promise said to Abraham, that all people be blessed through you, that's realized in Jesus. When Jesus dies and rises again, and we can get to know God and have the power to change, then we are part of these all peoples who are blessed by Abraham's offspring, by his descendants. And you and I are invited into this story as well. So Paul, who was like a church entrepreneur, startup guy, he wrote lots of letters in this book. I was coming into land with this. And he wrote in Galatians 3, which is a letter to a church in Galatia, which is in Turkey. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so this people group he's writing to, non-Jews, through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So if you non-Jews, so one of these nations outside of Israel, if you belong to Christ, you're like one of Abraham's descendants. So when God said to Abraham, I will make you great, I'll make you a great nation, every single person in this room who said yes to Jesus are included in that, and that was part of his plan. Isn't that amazing? We are part of the story that started all the way back in Genesis 12. Thousands of years ago, and we are literally a part of it right here in 2025. So, How do we work this out in our lives, just very briefly? Later on, I'm going to post a little video. It's like 7.5 minutes long from the Bible Project. And it's just like this animation, and it walks you through the first like 11 chapters of Genesis. And it explains kind of what I've been doing much more succinctly, and actually better. I'd recommend you listen to that. But it's great. It's like it's, you can, in 7.5 minutes, you can go, wow, I see so much that kind of hopefully inspires me to read Scripture. I think their materials are just second to none. I think they are incredible. They are. You don't need to know anything about the Bible. They're clear English. They're animated so you can see them visually as well. It's not just like reading a book. They're really insightful and really helpful. These guys are just incredible. They do incredible work. So I'm going to post that. So I warmly invite you to get on the WhatsApp group. You can sign up at the back if you're not in there. And if you are, just watch the video. It'll take you 7 minutes and just think about it. It'll be really helpful. Second thing I want to challenge you to this week is, why don't you sit down, grab a cup of coffee, and either read or listen, or like you can get audio Bibles, you can get them on apps, and you can get the Bible read out as well. Just have a time where you carve out 20 minutes just to read those first 12 chapters of Genesis. Just read them slowly and prayerfully. Get the big picture in your bones. Read actually whole sections of Scripture and just see. Because when we read it in one sitting, we start seeing connections. We start seeing how the story unfolds much clearer than if we just read a little bit here and then 3 months later we come back to another bit over there. Prayerfully read it. God will speak to you. You might want to study it. You might have a study Bible or a commentary. There's loads of resources out there now. But prayerfully read it and ask God to show you the big picture. And then finally, you might want to reflect this week. Again, it's all invitational. I'm not going to check your homework next week, don't worry. What is God calling you to? What promises has God made to you that you haven't seen come true? So you're thinking, God's made a promise to me and I've not seen it come true. And just go and pray over that. Lord, are you reawakening that in this time? Or what is God calling? What new promises is God saying over you? I love the way that God's been landing on people at different times in our church. It's like really reviving, bringing new life, a new promise. What's God calling you to? And to what extent are we able to say yes without knowing the postcode to put in the sat-nav? Are we willing to go into that Genesis 1, Genesis 2 thing saying, I'm going to follow you, Lord, without knowing it? So let's grow in confidence that we know the big picture. Let's allow the story of God that is included into us to be woven into our lives. And over the coming weeks, we're going to unpack all these characters and we're going to see how the story just builds and builds and builds and how it's relevant to our lives. Don't worry, this is not theology training. It's going to be deeply relevant to our lives. So I recommend that you give that a go this week. I warmly invite you, and just praying for us all that we just really get grabbed by the Bible and we meet with the Lord. It's not just a head knowledge thing.